Welcome back to TV Campfire Podcast. This is podcast number 43, and I am Libio, your host. And this week we are doing a very special, yet again very special, podcast. But this time it's the end of the year podcast. And what I'm trying to do is collect all the guests who have participated through the year, see if I can grab all of them. And we're going to talk about our list of the best and worst of 2010. But before we get into that, news.
Oh, yes, I have one bit of news. What was it? Oh, the 24 movie is now on indefinite hold because Fox has rejected the script that was submitted for it. So we may never get a 24 movie now, which makes the ending of season 8 seem really, really dumb now.
I actually never saw the finale of season 8.
I bailed on season 8 after the first 4 hours.
So. I made it all the way to the end, and I actually have the last 5 episodes on my TiVo. I just have not watched them.
Are you in denial?
Not that it's ending, it's just it was awful.
It was a bad season, yeah.
Stuff well, when you like make five, me hate
so. Well, yeah, after be smacked. After 5, it pretty much just was like, this is too repetitive and too predictable.
7
now.
Wasn't bad. 6 was awful.
6 was terrible. But,
I didn't even know what season it was.
But anyway, the ending of season 8, I felt should have ended with Jack finally getting killed for real.
Yes, actually,
and staying dead.
I wouldn't have minded that because that would have been, as long as he died for a good reason, I'd have been cool.
Yeah, and they actually had a good situation where it could have happened, and they wussed out because they wanted to do the movie.
We wanted to do a franchise.
Mm-hmm. All right, I just realized I forgot to introduce everyone, so let's actually go around the room real quick.
Okay.
Do our introductions.
Hi, I'm Rebecca. I've been here before.
I am Josh, and Merry New Year!
Beef jerky time.
Yes, beef jerky time.
Yeah. I did that last night, no one got my joke.
I'm Tom from LA. Happy New Year. Eat your black-eyed peas today.
Eat your black-eyed what?
What?
It's a good luck for eating black-eyed peas.
In what culture
Where?
Is that?
African-American?
I know not of what you speak.
Maybe you didn't get the memo.
I know not of what you speak. All right, one more guest intro.
Is that me? I don't know.
Yes, that's you.
I'm physically there.
Yes.
So this is Allison. I'm from LA, and happy whatever you want to celebrate.
That's very politically correct, as people.
Isn't
from...
it though?
Yes.
So PC.
All right. What we're gonna do is we're gonna go through a bunch of questions, and I've made my guests actually do homework this time, which is pretty awesome. First,
you think it's awesome?
Well, I have to do homework every week. I don't see why you guys don't.
The dog ate my TV list.
Well, make it up off the top of your head.
The dog ate my TiVo. I don't know anything anymore.
The questions we're gonna go through this week are. The top 5 returning shows, very specific. Top 5 returning shows in order. And then the show that jumped the shark. So it doesn't have to be a returning show, but I would think it would be a returning show that jumped the shark. The show that has been canceled that makes you either the saddest or the angriest or the whateverest that's been canceled this season. The best... new show, so it's only been on as a new show for this year, and you're most excited about it, and the news from 2011 about shows or television in general that has you the most excited, whether it's a new show coming out or some new whatever, but I'm assuming it's going to be a show.
Okay. Do we have to be excited, or can we be, like, dreading?
Well, we can add the dreading later, but... Okay. The news, it's technically news from 2011, so it could be good or bad.
Okay.
So you can go to either way.
Okay.
All right, what I want to do is we're going to go around the room and do each question and then discuss each question after we're done.
Okay.
Okay? So, Rebecca, you are up first for your top returning shows and give them an order. You can go 5-1, if you would like, to give some, you know, tension.
Okay.
And when you name your show... give, like, a really quick synopsis of why you picked that show. Like, it'd just be one sentence. One thought.
Okay.
Show number 5.
I have to go with Castle. Because I really enjoy watching every episode.
That's valid, right?
Show number four is Fringe, because I really like where they went with this year and the whole two universe thing. Show number three, I really thought about this one, and I had to go with Grey's Anatomy.
Are you kidding me?
Because
people still watch that?
Sorry, that's, we're not supposed to interrupt.
Okay,
that's the thing, is because a lot of people had thought it jumped the shark for a while, and then this year they had like a really, really awesome set of episodes that I was really into.
Okay.
Two and one I really waffled with. I flipped them back and forth a few times, and so I'm settling on two is Burn Notice and one is White Collar. And I could flip them back and forth. I really love them both.
All right.
Okay.
Josh?
Oh, my turn?
Okay. Yes.
Oh, darn. Now I feel like I need to revise my list.
That's exactly what she's supposed to do.
Oh, man. I totally forgot about that show. But I'm going to stick with what I put down. So for me, number five is Modern Family. Because it's always hilarious to me. Like, there are some sub-stories that are better than others, but I always walk away from every episode feeling very happy about what I just saw.
Okay.
Number four is Community. Again, another hilarious show. If you're not watching this, you need to. It is unbelievably awesome. Every episode is hilarious. Number three is Breaking Bad. I thought this season was very strong. I liked where they were taking the characters. I just love this show, and so I was very happy to see that it's still keeping the momentum even in the third season. Number two was Mad Men, because I felt that last season was kind of iffy here and there, but this season they really brought it back and sort of brought it back to its roots and developed the characters in new and interesting ways, and I was hooked from start to finish with this season.
Okay.
And number one, and I'm going to get some flack about this, I'm sure, is Doctor Who.
Flack.
I love Doctor Who, and I know not everybody agrees with me on this, but I felt that this season with Matt Smith was probably one of the strongest we've seen in a long time.
I will give you flack for that later.
I know.
You will not be alone.
Okay.
Oh, honorable mention goes to Mad Men, which after a really wonky third season. This was fourth, right?
Yeah, this was fourth.
Fourth season, I thought, really showed, hopefully, the redemption of Don Draper, although there were a couple of hiccups along the way. But I hope he wins the Emmy this year. Yeah. Not that Bryan Cranston doesn't deserve it, because Bryan Cranston is always amazing. And has paid his dues. Mm-hmm. But my official five, number five, Parenthood.
Oh, good one.
Just, I love this. Jason Kadams is the man. That's all I can say. And I have another show by him on here, but it's been great ensemble cast. Just can't say enough great about this show. Number four, Modern Family. As much as I love 30 Rock, Modern Family has displaced it as both the Emmy award winning comedy, and it's always fun.
I totally agree with this. This season in particular.
Oh my gosh. I just watched, they re-ran the earthquake episode.
Oh god.
And
I was dying
as if I hadn't seen it before. Number three, Friday Night Lights, the other Jason Tatum series.
Oh, I'm so behind on that show.
NBC, people who watch it on NBC won't be able to see it till either late spring or summer.
Yeah.
But season five is, there's a little more, there's about half of it left, but the new kids are coming into their own, and it's just been a great season, and wow, I'm glad.
I need to catch up, I'm behind on this season, but I've been loving it so far.
I'm glad Kyle Chandler and Connie Britton at least got a little bit of Emmy love finally this year.
Yeah, really.
Number two, Fringe. Wow. I just love the show. I hope it doesn't get burned by the Friday move. I don't know if you've heard, but
I'm talking about
the first episode back is called Firefly.
Oh!
so they
that's are, like dooming themselves,
so,
right?
So they're well aware of the fact. Wow. So I hope.
Why don't you bring on Tim Minear as a guest writer just for the icing on the cake?
I hope we get more than three seasons of Fringe, but man, what a great season it's been. And my number one, Vampire Diaries, the show that I have helped get several people hooked on.
Yes, I'm guilty.
My students sometimes would text me, have you seen it yet? No. Well, call us when you do. So they've had a great season. Another show, Kevin Williamson and Julie Plec, you go.
All right. Mm-hmm. Allison.
I guess I'll start with number five, which would be Eureka. And that's, it's like I never really got into Eureka for the years that it was on, and I watched for James Callis this year, and it was kind of a revelation. It's like, wow, this is really a great show, and it's just one of those shows that make me happy watching it.
Mm-hmm. I'm so glad to hear you say that.
Did you see the Christmas show?
Yes.
Yeah. I loved it.
Me too.
What a great Christmas show.
It was a wonderful Christmas
episode.
It was very
sweet.
Yeah.
Number four.
And my number four actually is kind of for the same reason. When I watch it, it makes me feel happy, and that's Leverage.
Yeah.
And I love that show. It's just everything seems to work on it to give me a smile. And my number three show would be True Blood.
Really?
It's one of those shows that's just consistently, it's like crack to me. I gotta watch it. I have to be there.
Suck it.
Number two would be Supernatural. Okay. And I think there's some argument this year that it's not what it used to be. And I would say that it's hard for it to get to the level that it was last year. I think that's almost unrealistic expectation, but I think it's still a really solid, really watchable show with really fantastic moments. And great humor amid all the tension. So I that is still a top show for me. And the number one would be Fringe. Nice. I'm loving that show. I think it's this year they've gotten to the pinnacle of what they've been producing. I think it's just reached the top, and it's just must-see TV.
Yes.
Brilliant, brilliant stuff from the writing, the acting, the direction, everything.
I would like to point out that my list has been sealed hermetically in a vault, and so I have not copied anyone else's list. However, I think every show except one that's on my list is on everybody else's, which is kind of cool.
Yeah.
All right. So where did my paper go?
Hey, we all brought our homework.
All right. I have my list. Two shows I have are not on anyone else's list. My honorable mention, because I thought of that too. Nicely done. I picked Human Target because I think it's the most improved show.
Yes.
Season one was kind of, all right, you know, it was watchable, but it really didn't add anything to the television genre, I think. But season two, it's a weird thing in that I could tell that the addition of the two female characters was some network note. But man, they ran with that.
Network notes are not always bad.
Yeah, but it has a connotation that it is. But this time, I really feel like the writers embraced it, ran with it, mm-hmm. and they completely made this show. They totally made the show over. It's a much more classy show. It's a much more interesting show. And I can't miss it. So that was not true of season one. Number five is Eureka. Nicely done, Allison. For pretty much the same reason that Allison picked, except that I've been watching Eureka, you know, through the whole thing, and it was kind of a candy show. I liked it. It was fun. But I swear, man, this season just blew my mind. It was so good.
The premiere gave it some drive, because otherwise it was the science project gone wrong.
Right. Yeah.
And at the beginning you keep waiting for them to fix it.
Yeah.
And then when you realize that they're not, you're like, whoa.
And I thought that was very brave for them, because one of the things that put me off so much was how episodic it was in the beginning.
Yeah.
And I think the way that they committed themselves to this storyline was fantastic.
Yeah, I totally agree.
Yep.
So that's how I made the list. Number four for me was NCIS. And even though NCIS didn't have a huge storyline this season. They had a really, they kind of had a good finale bringing into the new season. They had maybe four or five episodes that kind of went together. I am just so comfortable with those characters, and I just love spending time with them. I don't even care what they're doing. And it's, it's hard, and that's to me tells me I love this show. Because it could be a mediocre episode, but I have to spend an hour with characters I really like, and I don't care.
I still want to know if
David, I totally agree with you on that, yeah.
I still want to know if David McCallum knows about his appearance on Mad Men.
But it's just, that's my old comfortable blanket, and I love that show. The other thing, I'm actually sort of surprised, but not really surprised, but my number three is Lost, and nobody else mentioned it.
Wow.
And mainly... Okay. And you're all looking shocked, but I loved the last season of Lost. And I think part of it is I watched it all together. I waited till the show was over. I waited till the show was over, and then I had a marathon and I cranked through everything.
You didn't mind Sideways World being...
No. Well, mainly because part of the reason that I stopped watching Lost in season three is the week to week and the month to month waiting for the episodes drove me insane, and so I stopped watching. I was like, I can't deal with this, because it was just making me angry, right?
Yeah.
And then I said I'll wait till it's over and see what people think. And people were split. Some of the people loved it. Some of the people hated it. But I was like, I'll give it a shot. I'll see. And I started at season four. And I watched three seasons in like a month or something. And I liked it. I liked the end. I liked the sideways. I liked the time travel. I liked all, like everything.
See, I liked four and five. I just didn't care for half of six in the finale.
Yeah.
I have to say the finale was a little sugary. There was a great deal of sugar involved in that, with everyone meeting together in the church and going off to that was a little syrupy. But I still like the symmetry of the Man in Black and all this other stuff, so I enjoyed it. So the Lost actually got a thumbs up for me at the end, but I've heard people who were not happy about it. But I also like to judge a show based on the entirety of the show. And if you didn't like the last episode, does that mean the show is a failure?
So. In the case of the U.S., Life on Mars, yes.
Well, I would say yes with Lost, just because everything was building to that finale.
But I still enjoyed the time, but I didn't mind it, and I still enjoyed all the time I spent watching the other episodes. And I would still recommend the show to somebody. Still thought that I enjoyed it. So that's me.
Interesting.
All right. Number two is Vampire Diaries, which...
Yay!
Well, how are you... You
can't, there was much rejoicing.
I was about to say, you can't yay yet. You just got your season one disc. You can yay later, once you've actually watched it.
Okay. Well, I will yay in her stead.
Oh, okay, that's cool.
I've heard too many people who I trust say it's good. I mean, that's why I'm going to start watching it. Good.
Yay! Hey, so now we can yay back. Yay. But I have to say, this was the show that Prejudice made me assume was going to suck.
Mm-hmm.
Because I blame their advertising department as much as anything else, because everything that they show me on the trailers and all the posters made me believe that I was going to hate this show.
Yeah,
and
well,
even
they
though
made
I
it look like it was another Twilight.
Yeah, and even though I know what the show's about, I actually get annoyed looking at the posters now.
Me too. Yeah,
it's like, no, that's not the show. But this show...
But it's everything on CW. That's what they look like.
Exactly. Yeah. And that's what they're going for, that audience. But I just kind of wish they would actually advertise the show for what it is. And it's the biggest change, the hugest change in me. I don't think I've done this big of a turnaround since Doctor Who, actually. All right. My number one show is Fringe.
Yeah.
Actually. And I debated between Fringe and Vampire Diaries, which one top and which one bottom. And the only reason Fringe won was because out of the 10 or 11 episodes we had in the new season, only one of them was a standalone. And I was only disappointed. And even the standalone,
I
still liked. And I think I was only slightly disappointed in one of the episodes because I thought that Peter should have figured out that it's, that was the episode where she was manipulating everybody, or faux Olivia was manipulating everyone, and I thought that Peter should have known.
Yeah.
And that episode kind of irritated me a little bit, but that's it. The rest of the season was like perfect.
And it's coming back to bite him in the butt.
Yeah, I thought that creepy Frankenstein episode.
Right.
Where like she finally sort of called him out on it. It was just a perfect reaction.
Mm-hmm. And that's what I'm saying. They had more consistent episodes. I think in Vampire Diaries, there's maybe been two episodes I thought were out of its 11. But either way you look at it, that's still not bad, you know? So that's the only reason why Fringe won over Vampire Diaries in that.
I wanted to put Fringe on my list, but I'm still, because I'm watching it currently now, but I still haven't watched seasons 1 and 2 all the way through.
Oh, that is
so
weird.
It's kind of like I understand what's going on and I love what's going on, but I feel like I don't have the full context yet.
Yeah, although I gotta tell you, season 1 is hard to get through.
That's what I've heard.
Yeah. Season 1 is a struggle.
I can give you a list of handpicked episodes by one of the former writers of season 1.
Okay.
Yeah. That actually is probably advantageous. Best. Yes.
Okay.
Skip your way through season 1, watch all of season 2, and then if you're bored, go back and watch the ones you missed.
Okay.
Season 1.
I might take you up on that, yes.
Is there anyone who has any comments on anyone's lists or objections?
I do actually have a comment on Lost, because I really liked the end. But I think there's a couple other shows that I left off my list that I would put on before Lost, because I liked it, but there's other things that I like more.
I get that. Like, I mean, well, I thought about putting the same, like, Burn Notice and White Collar occurred to me to put on my list as well. But I kind of, Burn Notice and White Collar and actually Inside. Leverage as well all kind of fit in a category for me, which is kind of popcorn fun.
Yeah.
I consider them my popcorn fun shows, and because that doesn't make them any worse. I mean, I love White Collar. I'm not like it doesn't mean that I. It's just that for that reason alone, because in my head they're the popcorn shows. They didn't make my list for that only reason.
I kind of think of the USA shows as like an entity.
Yeah.
And so I'm really sad that I left off Psych, but
because
I love them all. I just every show that USA does.
I wouldn't say every show.
Oh, all of them. I love them all.
Okay. I'll give
Paints?
Really?
Wow. Well, that's the thing. It's like, I wasn't, when they advertised it, I was like, I'm going to hate this show.
Didn't
I watched
like
the first episode, and
I didn't like it either.
I like it.
I'm looking forward to Barely Legal, though.
So,
I like
Barely Legal.
Oh,
Barely. Wow. What kind of
That's something else entirely, my friend.
With from Life.
Yes, that was what I was going to bring up for the 2011 stuff.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Anyone? And I'm sure Allison, you had an objection to Doctor Who.
Well, you know, I mean, I don't have an objection per se, because I think it's a good show. Basically, I mean, I'm still watching it and I still enjoy it. I just don't think that this year is up to the level that it should have been, that I was kind of expecting it to be. It was kind of. They had a lot of iffy episodes and a lot of things that just the overall tone that they took with it being a fairy tale just seemed a bit precious to me. Kind of grated on my nerves more than once. And, you know, I really like Matt Smith, but he's like the reason at this point that I'm tuning in, because a lot of the rest of the stuff is very uneven. So I would not have put it this year. In past years, I think it would have made a best list, but in this year, nah, it would not for me.
My biggest problem, and I think I said it here before, is that I can't think of his name. The new head writer,
Stephen Moffat.
His episodes were good. Everybody else's were all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
Except for the one Richard Curtis wrote.
The Zango.
Vincent and the Doctor was green.
Yeah,
but he's. I think it's one of those cases where somebody is a good writer, but he's not a good showrunner, in that all the episodes need to be feel like they were coming from the same place.
Right.
Not, you know, a sine wave all over the place.
Yeah, I agree.
I love Matt Smith. Amy grew on me. I mean, she's very pretty, but her acting got better, you know, as the season went on.
This is my doubtful eyebrow.
you didn't think so?
I'm with you on Amy. I really like her, and I know, again, people don't agree with me on this, but I like Amy, I like Rory, I like their relationship and the dynamic that they bring to the show. Mm-hmm. And for me, Matt Smith is such a great doctor to me that I'm willing to suspend my disbelief a bit more than I was with Eccleston or Tennant.
Interesting.
Blasphemy.
I'm not saying I didn't like Eccleston or Tennant, I'm just saying that, because I love them both, I love them all. But there's just something about Matt Smith that draws me into this world more.
Like I said, I have voiced my opinion so many times I don't feel the need. And since I'm moderating, I won't put my spin.
And I also give it credit because, like you said, Vincent and the Vincent Van Gogh episode may be one of the best episodes of Doctor Who I've seen in a very long time.
I agree with you there.
I might use that for a case study instead of Blink. Just yeah, in terms of the writing,
I would agree. Like before,
because it's a more typical
typical episode. Yeah.
Blink is a typical. That is a great episode of Doctor Who.
Yeah.
For what it can do.
Right.
Actually, I like the premiere probably better.
The 11th Hour.
Yeah. The premiere drew me in, made me fall in love with Matt Smith within 10 minutes.
Yeah.
I was like, I love this guy, and I was so. I came in thinking, make me believe you're the doctor. Like,
and
I don't.
Did.
Yeah,
and
in 10 minutes.
Yeah.
I was absolutely convinced. Mm-hmm. And
see, the premiere episode for me was sort of like a little encapsulation of everything that drives me crazy about the show. Because it had the elements that really work, like Matt Smith and his grasp of the doctor, which was just immediate and wonderful. But in a lot of ways, I think he was like working against the material he was being given, because a lot of the stuff that was happening in the episode was just so juvenile and cutesy. The whole bit, you know, in the kitchen with all the different foods.
I love that
scene.
You know, I mean, I know there's a lot of people who like that. That thing just drove me insane because it looked like something that was made to appeal to preschoolers. And, you know, let's have fun with gross food.
But it's not something
I expect in a Doctor Who episode. And at least not a Doctor Who episode now. Maybe something from like the Hartnell or Troughton era, because that was a younger crowd.
But wait, Allison.
To be a bit more sophisticated now, and that just drove me nuts.
Allison, we're way off topic at this point.
Okay.
So let's...
Not really. I mean, we're talking about Doctor Who.
Well, no, we're supposed to be talking about our choices for 2010. So we are off topic. All right. Anyone else have a specific objection? Anybody else...
I would like to contribute that I am all caught up on White Collar and I love it. I just kind of, it sort of fell by the wayside for me just in putting my list together, but I feel like I should give it an honorable mention because I really do love it.
Cool. I love McCaffrey's awesome.
Yeah.
I love it.
Caffrey.
What did I call him? McCaffrey. It is Caffrey.
Caffrey,
right.
Yeah.
Sorry. Oops.
McCaffrey's a dragon rider.
Yes, she is. And one of my favorite writers. Very good call.
Nerve check.
That's why we're here.
I know. All right.
The next thing on the list we need to go through is Jump the Shark. What is the show that has jumped the shark for you?
I get to rant. Okay.
Not short rants.
Oh,
short.
I'm going to anger people in this room. I know, having just heard everyone's list.
I can't hear you.
I just heard everyone's list, so I'm going to anger people. I have to say Leverage. I do. I love the character.
Allison's like, I'm off this podcast. I cannot deal with you.
I still love the characters, and the stories have gotten so ridiculous. I just couldn't handle it anymore.
I do agree with you. Like, there's one thing about Leverage that has been annoying me more and more as the show has gone on, and that is that they are always talking to each other on comms within earshot of the people they're trying to con, and nobody ever hears them.
Oh, you know, whatever.
I just thought it lapsed into formula this year.
Yeah. Very much so this season, yeah.
All right, next.
Okay. For me, the show that jumped the shark this season was Glee. And I loved Glee when it first started. I was on board with it. But this season, they've really gone over to we're going to make these characters as one-dimensional as possible, strip out as much story as we can so that we can cram in as many songs as possible so that we can put out a bazillion different soundtrack albums. And, I mean, there are characters who I really enjoyed who have just become one-dimensional caricatures of what they were in season one, like Sue Sylvester. Like
I don't think anyone's going to argue with you on that one. Nope. Yeah. I think your choice is universally accepted.
But the moment for me where I was like, I really can't deal anymore was in the Rocky Horror episode. Which was a horrible episode to begin with. But when Shu was in the car and Christopher Cross comes on the radio and he says, "This is my jam," I was like, "That's it. I'm done with you." Christopher Cross and "This is my jam" are two things that should never be together. All
right.
I agree. Glee.
That's your choice?
Yeah. And to quote one of my students, not only has it jumped the shark, but it has paused, levitated over the head of the shark, tap danced on its nose, and then jumped.
With a song, perhaps?
I hate pretty much almost all the characters. Too many theme shows, too many guest stars. I don't know if I will be watching this year or not. Okay. I don't care. I just, it angers me, it frustrates me. And the fact that its ratings are huge doesn't make a difference. You know, aesthetic goodness has never had to do anything with...
Well, I was about to say, if you look at the ratings of all of reality shows, that doesn't tell you anything. So, all right, Allison, your choice?
Okay, well, I had to go back and forth on this. And actually, since I don't like going with a crowd, I'm going to eschew my one other choice, which was Glee. and instead go for my other choice, which is probably going to sound kind of unusual because it's not a returning show, it's a new show, and it succeeded in jumping the shark within 13 episodes.
Ooh, what's that?
It was like watching Heroes compressed into like half a season.
And the name of the show?
The name of the show is The Good Guys.
Oh.
The Good Guys started out as a really cute, really funny show. I was definitely laughing through episodes and thinking the characters were just great. And then they went on a brief hiatus. And when they came back, it was just this side of totally unwatchable. Everything that worked about the show, everything that was cute and funny about the show, just disappeared and disintegrated. It was awful to watch. It was like a train wreck in not so slow motion.
Okay, so we're gonna say it did not make your sad that it was canceled list.
No. It deserved. Oh, has it been canceled? It deserved to die.
Yes.
It was a mercy kill.
I'll give you credit. You stuck with it longer than I did. I gave up after about three episodes because it was just boring me.
I love that show.
I hated the pilot.
I love that show.
I loved it. We talked about it.
I thought it was funny as hell. And the thing is, they just ruined everything that was cute about it.
I thought it was funny, but the jokes just became so repetitive. I was like, okay, we've been here before. We get it. He doesn't understand 21st century technology. Let's move on.
All right, and on my list, I'm sure I'll anger some people out there, and I have to be honest. I mean, I've been griping about it on the podcast anyway, so it shouldn't be that big of a surprise, but I'm picking Chuck as my Jumping the Shark show. I think that...
I understand it.
I can see it.
I loved Chuck for the first couple of seasons, and I liked when he got the kung fu, and I liked...
Season 3.
Yeah, all that stuff was great. But this season, he settled down with his girlfriend, and so now the big question is, does she love me enough to get married? I don't care. Yeah. Then the question is,
is mom good or bad?
Don't really care that much. And then she took away his powers, but then they were back in like two episodes, so there's no repercussions. And I'm like, there's nothing going on this show. Chuck is not interesting. He's not doing anything interesting. if the most important character on your show is Morgan, which is where it is right now,
right,
there is a problem because the name of the show is not Morgan.
The thing with Timothy Dalton was kind of fun though, where he was
he was playing charades. That was hilarious.
Yeah.
No. I'm talking about where he was pretending to not to be.
Yeah, yeah, but you didn't really think. I knew there
oh,
was.
I know. Timothy Dalton is just so good that he was fun to watch. Yeah,
it was, but that didn't save the show.
No, I agree.
Yeah. I still am not quite at deleting it from my TiVo. I'm close.
Oh, interesting.
I'm not quite. It's like, it's still, I still like Morgan, and I still like Adam Baldwin, but I don't really like Chuck anymore.
Well, I'm sort of the opinion that this show is coming to an end anyway, so I'm just going to stick through to it, to the end.
Yeah. But at this point,
I'm just kind of watching it because I've been watching it all this time.
Exactly.
It's really not something I look forward to anymore.
Yeah.
I'll find that it's the end of the week and I haven't watched Chuck yet. So.
Yeah, that's kind of how I am with Leverage now.
Yeah. I see that.
I love the characters. I really like the characters and I just can't handle the show. I
can't get excited about it, right?
Leverage I'll get more excited about than Chuck, yes.
Mm. Oh, easily. Easily.
Huh.
Interesting.
I was like, I'm not sure how I feel about that. But okay, so the next thing on the list, next question, is... the show that you are the most upset about that it has been canceled.
Okay.
So go back around the room.
Okay. Well, Good Guys had definitely made my list, but I have to go with Terriers.
It's okay. Everybody can have more. There can be more than one person that picks the same show.
And
it's all right.
Win the round. It was so good. The characters, the writing, the like interaction. Just like I was so into it. I'm so sad. That's all I have to say.
He's just going to get emotional. And I can see by Josh's face.
My choice was exactly the same. Terriers. I loved this show. And it was subject of a horrible ad campaign that really didn't showcase what this show was about.
What ad campaign?
Well, there's that.
Yeah.
Like there was,
I knew about its existence from word of mouth.
Yeah, there was very little advertising, and the advertising that was out there did nothing for it.
It was a picture of a dog.
It was a picture of a dog. I was like, what's that show about?
Yeah, and the only dog in the show is a bulldog.
Right.
Not the terrier that they showed in the ad.
Yeah.
It's not about him.
Good on FX.
Yeah.
Right.
Boy, I was going to say Caprica, and then I'm like, no, I'm sorry. They didn't care enough to make the show interesting in the first set of episodes.
I agree.
And then I was going to say Friday Night Lights, and it's like, no, we got 5 years, and considering how low the ratings were and the DirecTV saved it for 3, that was no surprise.
And it's going towards a solid ending anyway.
Yeah. So I will have to say that Huge on ABC Family.
What are you talking? I don't even know what that
is. There was a show called Huge about kids at a fat camp. And Nikki
Blonsky
from Hairspray, the movie, was the lead. She was the rebellious kid. And Gina Torres was the camp counselor. But it was Winnie Holzman and her daughter, Savannah Dooley, co-created the show based on a book. And then Paul Dooley, Winnie Holzman's husband.
I have absolutely no idea what you're talking about.
It was a great show on ABC Family.
That is so bizarre.
That wasn't about teens wanting to have sex with each other or, you know...
Yeah,
it wasn't Pretty Little Liars or I
saw posters for it, but never actually watched it. So
I think you have the same complaint in that the ad campaign, because I pay attention to television. I have no idea what you're talking about.
It was a great little show. Catch it either on DVD or, well, I guess it won't be rerun anywhere.
Probably not.
But it was just something. It was original about, you know, and. David Hasselhoff's daughter was in it and proved she's a much better actor than him, which isn't saying
that
much.
Ain't saying much. Yeah,
but she was actually quite good.
All right, Allison, go ahead.
Okay, well, you know, I thought about Terriers, but because it was really sad that it did not get a second season, but I thought that it ended well, and so I could kind of emotionally say, okay, I'm good with that. So I didn't feel ultimately that horrible about Terriers simply because I felt okay with the ending. However, the shows that really stood out for me is, you know, damn, I'll never get more of that. It was a tie, really. I can't put one over the other, and that's Caprica and Rubicon.
Rubicon.
And I loved both for different reasons. I think a lot of people stayed away from both for the same reason, which is that they were both really kind of kind of slow moving, you know, there wasn't any shoot 'em ups, you know, big explosions and ship fights and things like that.
I have a quick question. Did you see the last five of Caprica yet?
I still have not seen the last five, but thought that it got to the point.
It's much better.
You know, when it came back from it from the enforced hiatus, it was such a good show. It had really, you know, it was really getting into the story and all the background that we wanted to know when we were watching BSG, and I thought it was turning into just a fantastic, just electrically watchable show. And that's of course when they pulled the plug.
Right.
And with Rubicon, I just thought it was such a smart show. It was a show that really valued the intelligence of the viewer and the ability to, you know, keep with all the twists and turns and the very subtle machinations of the conspiracy that was going on. And I loved that. And so, of course, it got canned.
I agree with you about that. And because I don't know who else stuck with Rubicon aside.
I didn't make it to the end.
I stuck with it to the end. And I agree with you. Like, it started off very slowly and gradually picked up momentum so that by the end, I was really into it and was ready to see where this was going to play out.
Yeah.
So I was disappointed, but it didn't make the top of my list. Yeah.
The moral of the story is you've got to give audiences payoffs sooner versus later, or they're not coming back.
True.
My list, which I am a sci-fi geek and I stand by that, and I picked two shows as well, but mainly because also I wanted to, because they're sci-fi shows and you would think that I would be used to those being canceled.
Mm.
However, not so much. And I picked Caprica and Stargate Universe.
Stargate Universe I'm much more disappointed with.
And mainly I picked... The thing about Caprica is once it came back from hiatus, it took off. I mean, it was like a completely different show.
Yeah.
And I have to say, I have seen the last five, and I won't necessarily talk about how I saw them. But
they're out. They just came out.
Okay, sure. That's exactly how
they're
I saw them.
They're on DVD.
Exactly. anyway,
that's my story and I'm sticking to it.
The last five episodes are fantastic. They're even better than the first five. And
wow.
I have to say the last episode has this thing at the end. It's like a 5-minute kind of epilogue trailer of the next 10 years. So it strangely gives you closure because you basically see what happens to all the characters 10 years from now. But it also makes you like, man, I want to see that.
Okay.
So it's...
They must have seen the end coming.
I think so.
So kind of like Epitaph 11 and 12 with Dollhouse.
Yeah, but it's not quite as drastic.
Yeah, whatever.
It's not quite as drastic like post-apocalyptic. It's more like, all right, from this point where you just saw, we're going to jump 10 years ahead and see where these people are in their lives.
Okay.
And
well, technically, it would be pre-apocalyptic.
Right, it's
pre-apocalyptic.
Right, and
we're getting the apocalypse in Blood and Chrome.
I was really impressed, and I was really happy with how they ended the show. I thought it was fantastic.
Okay,
it was a nice period at the end, even though I'm putting it on my list as a show I'm disappointed in, because after I got to that, I was like, okay, it's a good ending, but now I kind of want to see it.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
but they should have started with the show like that.
That's all fine and good, but they didn't, and I'm okay with that.
But,
I'm okay with that, but for Stargate Universe,
those final five a watch.
Yeah, they're really good, and Stargate Universe.
The final five.
Come on, who hasn't made that joke yet?
For Stargate Universe, I think it suffered more from what you're talking about, which was the entire first season was kind of blah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The second season took off, and now I'm kind of like, I was just now going, oh my God, Stargate Universe is good.
Yeah, it really turned around.
And I just started telling people that, and I was just starting to get excited about it, and then it's canceled.
Absolutely. I totally agree. And
which is curious that they would cancel a show with 10 more episodes left.
Well, no, they were at the point where they were going to have to greenlight
the
new
shoot.
New season. So that's why.
At least they didn't tease us with, we're going to do a wrap-up. No, we're not.
No. So that's my list for that.
Okay.
All right. The next category is the best new show of 2010. What was it? The contention is it basically had to have premiered in 2010. Anytime in 2010,
mm-hmm.
number one show. Go.
Okay.
Well, I did really like terriers, but since I just talked about it, I have, and it's done now. I gotta go with Justified.
Which nice is choice.
Same yeah. network.
Good choice.
Same good cast and stories. So I'm sticking with that one.
That's a good choice. I debated that one on my list.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I had the same debate. Do I put Terriers in both my favorite new show and most angriest cancellation? So I decided I'll keep Terriers in the cancellation, and for my favorite new show of 2010, I'm going to go all the way back to around the beginning of 2010 and say Tremé, which Ooh, I absolutely show. Adored. Mm-hmm. This, it's an utterly tragic show. It began in tragedy. It ended in tragedy. It was all about tragedy, but the characters were so well thought out and well fleshed out. The stories, all the different sub-stories were... They just brought me in, and the music, I cannot say enough about how great the music is in this show.
It's like Glee for adults.
It's like one soundtrack album for this show is better than 10 Glee soundtrack albums.
Is it out?
Yes, it is.
Ooh, I'll have to get that.
Yeah, I need to pick it up.
All right.
Well, I'm surprised nobody said it before now. Not that I disagree with the past choices, but I'm going to have to say The Walking Dead. With the caveat that I have no expectations for season 2 with the writing staff gone.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
That opener and the following episodes just kept me gripped. I'm not a zombie person at all. I'm the vampire werewolf guy.
I agree to a certain extent. I felt it started strong, I felt it ended strong. But I felt it kind of meandered and was sort of uneven going
and
through.
And considering
the
it only had 6 episodes, that's pretty hard to do.
Yeah, and I would agree with that because I was just in love with that premiere.
Yeah.
And then it just started going down after that, and that was just kind of a shame.
Allison, what's your show?
Well, I'm gonna cheat. See, I have a favorite USA show, not the network, the country. And that would be Boardwalk Empire.
Okay.
Good choice,
and
yeah.
I love that show. It's just brilliantly done. I think, in a sense, it has one thing in common with Walking Dead in that it has this absolutely brilliant premiere. And I would agree that the shows that follow it don't come quite up to that level. I mean, for one thing, they're not directed by Scorsese.
Yeah.
but they are still brilliantly done, written, and acted episodes, every one. And I was always looking forward to the next one. So, and I'm dying for season 2. So that is my top of the list for ones done in this country. And British favorite episode.
Cheater.
Yes, I know. Would be Sherlock.
I knew you were going to say that.
Well, she stole my thunder because that's my number one new show.
Does that count as a show?
It's a season.
It's a show.
It's a show, and it's coming back for season 2.
It's a three-movie. Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah, it's coming back for season 2. It's good. And for I did not make the distinction between U.S. and American. I just said Sherlock is the number one new show of 2010 because... Yeah. I love those episodes. I'm constantly thinking about Sherlock all the time. I'm like, when is it coming back? Like, I know when it's coming back, but it's like I'm thinking about it and excited about it, and I can't wait for the new season. Yeah. And to me, that's exactly what a new show should do. It should really get you hyped and ready to go.
I agree. And I was torn about putting Sherlock on there, but what took it off for me was the second episode was fairly weak for me.
I would say it wasn't as strong, but the third
was so good it didn't even matter.
The third was amazing.
And an honorable mention is Luther.
Okay.
Notice both of my shows are British shows, but I am a Anglophile in the television sense.
Can I throw in an honorable mention for me?
What's that?
It's called Raising Hope on Fox.
Oh, the comedy.
I enjoy it. Yeah.
The only thing I'm going to actually... I know you're going to shoot daggers at me over there, Tom. But I actually added most disappointing new show because it occurred to me as I was making my list.
Oh, you can't make a whole new category like that.
I'm just saying. It occurred to me and I was like... Because I was going through my top new shows And the most disappointing new show was Walking Dead.
Oh, interesting.
Okay.
Mainly because I was so excited about the concept. I saw the pilot. I was like, this is great. And by the time it was done, I was like, I don't feel like I need any more of it. I'm fine.
My most disappointing new show would have to be The Non-Event.
I'm with you on that one.
Which I have bailed on.
I haven't bailed on it yet. I'm still watching it. I still like the aliens. I really like the
Laura Innes.
What is her character's name? Like
Sophia.
Sophia. I really like Sophia, and I really like the president.
Yeah.
The whole Jason Ritter story is boring beyond the telling of it.
That whole thing can end entirely for me.
And the show would improve by leaps.
Exactly.
Which is interesting because that was, he was supposed to be the main central character when they started.
He adds nothing to that show. And I really wish the show wasn't about him at all. So there's that. But anyway, let's get back on topic. Unless somebody has anybody have a problem with anybody's number one new show?
No.
Other than the one I just voiced. Sorry. All right. So the last category we have are new shows of 2011. What are you most excited about? What in television, as far as shows go, are you most excited about?
Well, I'm excited for Fairly Legal, which we already brought up, but it's coming up very soon. I seem to be the only person that likes the primetime soapiness, and I am gonna check out the Off the Map. The
only thing about that is starring one of the guys from Friday Night Lights. That makes me slightly interested.
Yeah.
I actually went to college with him.
So. Oh wow!
So I barely knew him, but I had a class with him, and so like
way to name drop on the podcast.
What's that song?
support the alumni, and also I really love Carolyn DeVerna from Wonderfalls.
Oh, I didn't know she was in it.
Yeah, she can see her like. For half a second in the commercials.
From the Ring.
Yeah.
Okay. Hopefully she has more screen time in this than she did in The Pacific.
Oh, which I didn't even see. But yeah, so I'm going to check that one out and see.
Let me know about Off the Map. I'm slightly curious, but not quite curious enough to watch it.
Yeah. Well, because I love Grey's Anatomy. I don't like Private Practice, so it could go either way.
Okay.
So we'll see.
Okay. All right. I've got a few things. First one is I'm totally expecting the U.S. version of Being Human to be awful.
Yes, I agree.
I am hoping that Blood and Chrome will end up being decent. That's my hope for
it. Who knows when we'll actually get to see that?
I know.
They're supposed to be shooting the pilot this year, at least.
My other hope...
So we'll see it win 2012?
Yeah, something like that. Yeah. My other hope is that this next coming season will be the last one for Dexter, just because I feel like it's getting to the point where they need to give it a good ending.
Okay.
Yeah,
like,
I agree.
It's starting to get to where they're beginning to overstay their welcome. Like, they've done as much as they can with these characters, and I just like to see it go out gracefully.
Okay.
Like we're getting with the closer?
Yeah. And I also... looking forward less to season 2 of The Walking Dead just because of the whole debacle with firing all the writers and hiring a bunch of freelancers. I feel like this is going to make for a very uneven season.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm hoping it's not that way, but I'm pretty sure that's probably what's going to happen.
Okay.
Yeah.
I am looking forward to Spartacus: Gods of the Arena.
Thank you! I forgot about that. Oh my god, I don't know how I did that.
So I've got to find out if I can still get that with Netflix streaming or if I have to subscribe to Stars again to get that.
You can probably still get it with Netflix.
They have to remake their deal at the beginning of the year, but it should come through.
Okay, I'm looking forward to that. Why am I blanking on the name of HBO's...
Game of Thrones, yeah.
I saw the extended trailer for that. That looks great. And George R.R. Martin is high on it, too. And Sean Bean's one of the leads, so...
Well, George R.R. Martin wrote...
Yeah, but usually the writers of these... who have their works ruined.
No, happy, that's true.
Yeah. But he's been involved and said he's very pleased.
I haven't read the books, but a lot of my friends who have read the books have been raving about the extended trailer, so that bodes well
that,
for me.
That would probably be me, too. Okay. Oh, you didn't hear me raving?
I didn't hear you raving. Okay. But it's not just you, it's lots of my friends who have read the books.
All right, Allison?
Well, you know, there's the obvious prediction that more shows that I adore will be canceled.
Well, of course.
But that, I mean, that's about the safest prediction I can possibly make, other than more stupid reality shows will take their place. But I have to echo both Spartacus Gods of the Arena, which really surprises me because I hated Spartacus to start with. You know, I just thought it was the stupidest show on television, and I just kind of tuned in more for the eye candy than anything else.
I just
else.
See Livia and Tom
getting
angry over here.
And then it actually turned out, it started getting good, which surprised the hell out of me. And I'm from all the trailers that I've seen, I'm really looking forward to the sequel to it.
That was a kind of backslap to it. Yeah. But Gods of the Arena is a prequel, not a sequel.
Prequel, true. Yes,
you've got to admire a season finale.
About the rise of the House of Batiatus.
Well, you guys are talking about.
So I'm looking forward to that, and I'm also looking forward to Game of Thrones. I mean, they're promoing the hell out of it, so it's like constantly there, and it looks if the show looks as good as the promos do, if it looks a tenth as good as the promos do, it's going to be worth watching. And as you pointed out, it's got Sean Bean in it, which means that I will at least watch that part of the show. If I want to add anything else, there's Chicago Code, which looks really promising, even if it does star the wrong Jason from Brotherhood.
My list has already, everyone has pretty much mentioned everything on my list, but I will tell you anyway.
Okay.
Which was Game of Thrones, which was my number one thing that I'm excited about. Number two, I'm surprised nobody's mentioned yet, which is Torchwood: A New World is coming in 2011.
Yeah, that's right. And I'm dubious about that. I partly want to see it.
It's still Russell T. Davies. It's still.
I'm very much looking forward to it. Yeah.
Yeah. Captain Jack, that's all I need. So, I'm excited.
Well, that and the fact that they got Jane Espenson on as a writer for, like, an episode or two, and I'm like, I love her. So, the fact that she's writing Torchwood just, like, makes me so happy.
I also forgot to mention, so if you want to keep
going
on the subject, I don't know when it's supposed to be for, but I know that they're starting to film the Burn Notice Sam Axe movie.
Oh, right.
Mm-hmm.
So, that should be coming up. I don't know, either later in 2011 or 2012, so.
Cool.
Yeah, sorry, I was about to get off topic, but we're not. All right, anyone closing comments, thoughts? We'll wrap this up.
My prediction, which is, I think I misunderstood the question, but I'm really hoping that Apple does a deal with the networks that will be a cable killer to offer a subscription service through the Apple TV.
That would mean I'd need another piece of technology. I don't like that idea.
it would mean that you would... Well...
I'm just saying. Right now, I'd rather all of it go through Netflix, which I already have a subscription to,
right.
Which I already can get on my television, mm-hmm. Which I don't have anything... I don't need anything else. I'm already paid for monthly. I'm all good.
I'm with you on that, which is why I love Stars.
Yes, because I get my Stars on my Netflix. Anyway, all right. I'd like to wrap everyone... if you have any feedback, you totally disagree with our ideas, you totally agree with our ideas, you can reach us at tvcampfire@gmail.com. Follow us on Twitter at tvcampfire. We're on Facebook, and now we have a blog, tvcampfire.com. Come and visit, see what we're talking about, and I'll talk to you guys next week. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.